This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name's Martine and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is and what AA can do to help. Then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. Now I'm going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every meeting.
Hi, I'm Philippa. I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So, what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you don't have it. However, once it has a hold on you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model, and the victim is as helpless as the sufferer of cancer. If you're an alcoholic, you're at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think that sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and to admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it's an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is one's too many and a thousand is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink, and this makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. This has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who's just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. So let's meet our guest. Hi, Philippa.
Hi.
I wonder if you'd like to introduce yourself and give us a quick sketch of who you are.
I'm Philippa. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a 63-year-old woman. I'm married. I've got my own business, and it's a gardening business. I don't have any children, and most of my family have died, and I'm sort of down to with my husband and friends, but it's good life now that I'm sober and in AA.
Great. So how long have you been sober for?
Well, first time I was sober for 20 years, and I picked up about 3 years ago, and I've only got 10 months up now. So, 10 months.
So where are you from, and how was your childhood?
I'm from Christchurch. I was born in Christchurch. I actually live out at around Rolleston in West Melton now. My childhood was, I would call it, lonely. I was shy. I didn't make friends very well, and I kind of got beaten up at school. But if my sister, I've got three siblings, or I had three siblings. If my sister was at the same school as me, she'd stick up for me and beat up the other people that were beating me up. So, but when she left, of course, it got worse. But yeah, I only really had one friend at school, and yeah, as I got older, I sort of didn't have a lot. My sister and I got on really well, so we used to flat together, and she had a wee kitty, and I'd help her out with her because she was single. I've worked all my life. I've only ever been on the dole once. As I got older, things changed.
So when did you start drinking, and how did it progress?
Well, actually, drinking in earnest, probably wasn't until I was about 16, 17. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, my dad used to make his own beer, so we'd always dip our fingers in the vat when he was making it, and just sort of have it that way. And as I got a little bit older and a bit more adventurous, I'd take little scoopfuls. But I liked it then. But I drank for a wee while when I was 15. Yeah, and I always seemed to not just have one or two drinks. I think the first time I drank to blackout. And I thought, I would not do that again, and sort of slowed it down again. But I gave it away for a couple of years and then started really getting into it about 16, 17. Round about there.
So what do you think alcohol did for you?
It made me confident. It let me talk to people. I was a very quiet person. I wouldn't talk or tell anyone anything about me if I didn't have to. I'd avoid it at all costs. Also, it allowed me to go out to clubs and nightclubs and things, and to the pub, and just associate with people I met. People that way. If I didn't have a drink on me, I just wouldn't talk to people. So,
did you ever feel it was a problem?
No. It made me feel good. If anything, it helped me, you know. Without it, I was terrible. I was just so shy, and I probably never would have gone out with a guy, ever, if I didn't have alcohol. And it just seemed to settle me down and to make me feel good inside about myself. But without it, I just didn't have the confidence to sort of, you know, live a normal life. I really didn't. I just thought alcohol made me normal.
So what made you realise you needed help?
Well, that was very many years down the track. I was probably about 38, 39. And although I'd had a very good friend by then, just one, and she suggested it, but I just poo-hard it. I said, no, I can stop drinking when I want, and I could stop during the week and just have drinks on the weekend. But of course, it wasn't just one. I'd tell my friend that, because we actually had a house together. She had kids, and we bought a house together. And, I'd tell her that, and I'd do secret drinking in the garage. But she just suggested it, that I was perhaps needed help, but I didn't really want to take that on board. And it wasn't until it started really getting bad and affecting things that I thought, maybe I have got a problem. And I did try to go to AA. I went to a meeting and sat down in that meeting, and there were only about three people there, and I thought, oh my gosh, what have I struck? And they told their stories, and I thought, oh, what a pack of useless people. They're hopeless. I thought, I'm not like them. So I didn't go back, and I just said to my friend, well, I've tried AA and it's not for me. And I think I must have carried on for probably about a few more months, and it just didn't get any better. And she just said that, if I don't get help, she's going to sell up and leave. And so I decided I would try Queen Mary. She suggested it, and I thought, OK, I'll do it. I'll go there. And when I came out of there after 6 weeks, I just went straight into AA and it felt good then. So I stayed, but I still sort of, not until nearly the end of Queen Mary, I still didn't believe I was an alcoholic until about the last 2 weeks. And then I sort of thought, yeah, I am.
So you sort of said that you found like that you were home when you went to a meeting. So what did it feel like? What were the other members like? How did they treat you?
Well, they were nice. You know, they sort of didn't judge me. Like, I didn't have to talk about anything that I didn't want to. And that's what I liked. They said to me, you can either come up and talk or you don't have to. And, yeah, they just, like, I could tell the ones that were like me. And I could sort of see that the other ones that had more experience and longer sobriety, they looked happy and peaceful. And I just used to keep thinking, well, I want what they've got. And I did end up getting a sponsor very early. And she said to me, well, if you want what they've got, you've got to do anything to get it. And I did. So I just followed what I got told to do and what I heard you should do to get sober, and it works.
So how would you say you've managed to stay sober?
Well, for the 20 years I did stay sober, I went to AA, but it was when I stopped going to AA that things started sliding. I stopped going to AA and I stopped talking to God, and I stopped my readings. I just stopped everything, and it probably took a year or so, but a bit of the insanity started creeping back and I just picked up again. But the second time that I wanted to give up again, it was after about a year of drinking and trying to control it, and it was mainly the insanity in my head that...
So that was your second rock bottom?
Yeah, the second time. And it was just, well, it was horrible. I just, you know, I lost confidence again in myself, and I didn't even want to go out to work. But, I just sort of looked back to the 20 years and tried to think of the first 2 years and what I did. And I thought, well, what I've got to do is get back to an AA meeting, and that's the first thing I did. And I went to as many meetings as what I could through the week, which was about... It was only about three, and I just started doing what I knew I had to do, and I got hold of a sponsor again. It happens to be the same one that I had for the first 20 years. So, I got her, and she was still around and still willing to sponsor me, and started getting my higher power back. That was the main thing, is I'd lost them. And it was very hard. I'd sort of lost the knack of talking to him and getting, you know, getting a feeling back from it.
Yeah.
So I had to relearn all that. And although I had the 20 years, it did take me a lot to learn it. It took, I know from when I started going to AA meetings, it probably took me another 6 months to actually give the drink away completely. I wasn't drinking when I went to meetings, but I was still picking up, and I still didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
But, it was just a matter of getting all those things going and going, just going through the steps, going to a steps meeting as well, and hearing those steps read out in full and just thinking to myself, well, yeah, I've just got to think my way through all of these steps again and starting to practice step 10. So I did my amends mainly to my husband, but to my friend, because I'd lied to her. I did actually go to her for help too. I told her that I'd picked up again, and she was really good. She, you know, helped me. Although she's not an alcoholic, she's really good. But, you know, walking into those doors after not being there for a while, I went back to the steps meeting. Mm-hmm. The same one I'd been to, and walking in there, and I saw somebody who I knew from when I first went there, and he just greeted me like an old friend, really, and just said, it was good to see you, it's good to see you back again. and didn't ask anything, and because I just felt so embarrassed. Mm. But I realised after that first meeting there was no need to be, because everyone just accepted me back again. Didn't want to know where I had been or anything like that, and I guess they just waited until I was ready to talk about it.
Cool. And how important has service been as part of your recovery?
I find it hard doing service, but I do it. I do it in my way. I'm not very good at, still not very good at talking to people. I get very nervous, but I do make myself do it, and I have got better over the years. I do help with dishes. If I get there early enough, I'll help put chairs out and put them away at the end and pick up the books and things like that. And I'll talk to people if I'm asked to share, even though I don't always want to, I will get up and share, because that was one thing my sponsor said in the first few months of getting sober the first time, where she said, if you get asked to share, you share. And she says, because by doing that, you're doing a service. So I thought, well, I'll do that. I knew I could do it, but you know, just every time my stomach used to turn. But I'd get up there and I'd share, and I thought, well, if I'm going to share, I'm going to do it honestly and do it what's bothering me, or what's, you know, sometimes it's on the step, and do it just as honest as what I can, and, you know, sort of not hold things back, because that's another way I can help people, is by telling them, you know, how I got sober and what it was like for me, really. Yeah.
And how do you feel within yourself today, now that you're sober again, in terms of things like your confidence and self-esteem? And
I still, that sort of thing. You know, like I'm only 10 months sober this time, so I'm still getting there. To me, the first 2 years are the hardest. You sort of had segments like three months, 6 months, 9 months, in a year, and on those times I seem to go a little bit down and backwards, but I recognise that I've got to be careful around those months. And my sponsor normally rings me up and says, you know, do you realise it's your ninth month? And if I'm ringing her up and saying, well, listen, I'm going a little bit mad in my head, and she said, well, how long have you been sober? And she says, well, you've just got to pray a bit more and say the serenity prayer. So when I've got out of those periods, I feel good. I really do. I get this feeling in my stomach like I used to get when I had that first drink, except it's better because I don't get any horrible reactions from it, and I don't lose control of my mind. And, I'm just happier. And it's not just me either, it's my husband. When he learnt that I'd picked up, you know, he, I don't think he knew how to handle me, because he's never seen me drinking. And I did do it secretly this time too, so I still wouldn't drink in front of him. But I hardly ever saw him smile or laugh. And it's probably only in the last 3 or 4 months that he started to laugh and smile and be a bit more happy with me. And, you know, and to me, that means more to me than how I feel, really. It's, you know, this time round, I just don't want to hurt anyone else. So it's important that I get it right this time.
Yeah. So AA has been described as a spiritual program. What does this mean for you? How do you think does spirituality differ from religion?
That is the problem I had the first time. I was brought up very religious, in a religious family, and I actually grew to hate the church, because I found that they were hypocrites. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And it sort of forced me, when I came into AA, I thought, well, how can I have this God that these people use against me, you know? And I thought, well, I've got to take that religion out of God and just I started off how the book says to get a higher power. So I started off with nature because I love nature and I love animals and things like that. So I just started off with our property, and I used to go out and stare into the paddocks and just think, you know, it just looks so nice. And even like rain, I can't stop the rain, so it's more powerful than me. So I started off there, and you know, it wasn't long before I just started calling it God, because I thought, well, I've got to call it something. So that actually took the religion out of it, and I don't feel like I have to go to church to be close to God or to have God help me. And as long as I've got somebody to talk to about it, you know, that's what's important, is talking to people, like-minded people about it.
So what do you think a life lived on a spiritual basis looks like?
Wow, that's a question. I just think, well, I suppose to put it bluntly, it's not to do any harm to anyone. To, you know, to try and live a peaceful life, really. I do try to. Nowadays, I don't like confrontation. I don't like arguing, whereas I used to love it in my teens. Well, even when I was early 20s and that, when I was drinking, I loved arguing, and I'd do it just to, you know, really bug somebody. I'd argue, but nowadays I don't, and I harmed so many people in my drinking days that I just don't want to harm anyone anymore. So to me, that's a spiritual thing. It's living life as good as what I can. And sure, I'm not perfect, and I'm going to make mistakes, and I am going to hurt people, but it's recognising that I've hurt them and to be sorry for it, and if possible, to make amends for it. But apart from that, spiritually, I just let my gut guide me now, and if it doesn't seem right there, well, it's not right. That's the best as I can explain it.
Cool, thanks. And just finally, what would you suggest for any listeners who are out there who think that they may have a drinking problem? What advice do you give to them?
Well, if they may think they may have a problem, if they're thinking that, they probably have. Because you don't think that if you haven't got a problem. The best bet is to get into an AA meeting. That's what I can recommend. It may not seem like it in the first time, but try going back a few times. Not like me, you know, although I ended up going to Queen Mary, I should have gone back again and again, because the second time round when I picked up again, I still didn't give up the drinking for a while, but I kept going back and it did come. So it does work if you work at it. Or ask people, seek help. You know, don't try to do it on your own. You've got to get some help of like-minded people.
Philippa, thanks so much for coming on the show and for sharing your story with us. For our listeners, if you've related to anything you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are over 60 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 5:30 on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can also find podcasts of our show on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz, or you can download, subscribe and listen to podcasts on iTunes and Spotify. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business. If you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close with a serenity prayer, as we do in every AA meeting. God,
give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.